Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. And I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine. I ran out of Zoloft on Saturday, so my brain is a little bit like the neurons aren't connecting. So if I stutter or anything, that's why.
Thank you for your authenticity, though. Like, I think everyone wants to know that it's okay sometimes if you show up on the Zoom and you don't have all your meds.
Yeah. I mean,
normalize showing up with your neurons not firing.
Right. And like support the NHS, wish they were funded better so that they could refill prescriptions on holiday weekends. It would
like,
be.
That's one of those things where it's like, you know, like we don't want government to have everything free. And it's like, well, but at a certain point, like nothing's free. Like this is, it's free, but you might have to wait a few extra days in order to act like a normal person again. So it's like, well, is it free or what? There is a cost. There is a cost.
Right. Well, but it's because of the Tory government. It's because of the conservative government is what they say.
Isn't that a theme of the day?
Exactly. And we'll get to Roe v. Wade too, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, and also I would like to add that the tax rates in the UK and the US are not that different. The only difference is in the UK, our taxes go to healthcare and housing people. And in the US, it goes to like wars in the Middle East. So I just want to add that as a little side note too, because people will say, oh, the taxes must be out of control. And it's like, sorry, I'm making a brownie. The taxes must be out of control. And it's like, no, actually, they're like basically the same. It's just that they're not paying for submarines. They're paying for fucking insulin. That's why I'm stuttering. So anyway, this is my special meal. It's a melty brownie with ice cream.
Oh, Mom. You know, sometimes I worry about you. You know, I'm really excited to talk about the Kim K dress. But when you say this is a meal and then that meal is melty brownie ice cream, I think she's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I let loose.
Yeah, like, and I love it because you could be like, this is my naughty meal. You said that with no judgment. You said, I just want to say, I acknowledge you for just being like, yeah, my meal tonight is a brownie mm-hmm. with melty ice cream. It's like, it's not dessert. It's not naughty bad girl. It's like, no, this tonight's dinner includes ice cream, brownie, and a little bit of space trash.
Exactly. And wine, if someone would ever bring it to me.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, that's juice.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if this guy got me. Wine. It's down. Gorillas is down.
This is why, though. Okay, so Mercury gestation shadow. Mercury retrograde starts May 10th, which ironically enough will be my first stand-up show back. I will be at the Stand on May 10th if anyone's in New York. There are actually only 10 tickets left, so come if you can.
Is that the one that Mark Norman's on?
Yeah, it's like me, Norman, Janine Garofalo.
That's a big show. That's a big bill. Yeah, people should go.
Please don't tell me that I need to like cut my teeth at Mike's, okay? If I'm going to show up and do comedy, it's going to be with Janine.
I know. And if I'm going to show up and do comedy, it's going to be in Croydon to drunk people with really pink necks that don't like me or want to see me ever again. And all the other people on the bill are going to be also self-loathing. And that's why I haven't been doing comedy anymore. So can I tell you while Nick is in the room, what happened with Gorillaz? Because it's hilarious. Gorillaz is the food delivery app that usually brings me food and wine in like 5 minutes. And today, Nick, they sent this notification through that was like, bet we're faster than you think. Order your food with this code and we'll get to your door in less than 2 minutes. So I was like, oh, fuck, I'm going to get wine, brownies, everything. Oh, yeah. So I started to order it and the entire app crashed. And I'm like, this is why you don't pretend that you're going to deliver everything in 2 minutes. And then because every single person who owns the app's already, and now it's been down for 2 hours.
I mean, isn't that just everything, though, that like in an attempt to like make some money, the statement put out by the app you trusted lied. Like they didn't think it through. It's like everybody's just becoming Fry Fest.
I know. It's really
come to this island. I'm sure we'll figure it out. Hey, if everybody orders at once, unless you've doubled your workforce, there's no way we're going to be there in 2 minutes and that this app is even going to be able to sustain this kind of broadband.
Right. And like, it's a rainy Wednesday. Right. I was going to get wine no matter what. And like, you didn't have to lie and tell me it was going to be here in 2 minutes.
Let me tell you something though. Honestly, if I could give everybody homework, take an improv class. If it's online, Gaby and I could teach one. Seriously. No. Because it's not about nerds or getting on stage or being in the fucking UCB or SNL. It's about learning how to actually be in the moment, confidently listen and respond. They obviously pre-planned this.
Don't take an improv class.
Listen though. If you pre-planned this, nobody was like sitting there like, hey, I have an idea. It's rainy. Why don't we just to boom some sales? Of all days where people are going to obviously use the app, it's going to be the rainy day. This was like a pre-planned, and on our content marketing calendar for May, on May 4th, May the 4th be with you. Get the fucking sit at that. You know, it's like they tried to be cute. They thought it was going to be like a good marketing push that they put a little Easter egg into every month. And it's like, actually, if you were really living and breathing in the moment with your clientele, you would know that they're all fucking ordering it. No one's leaving the house.
I don't think improv would help. We have another slapgate. Dave Chappelle has gotten pushed and ambushed on stage by a guy wielding a fake gun that had a blade in it. What? No one really gets it, but he was armed, you know. He was armed. What are you thinking about this? This is crazy.
I could not really sleep last night. I couldn't sleep either. I woke up to you just saying Chappelle got attacked on stage, and I was like, "What?" And so I'm sort of just coming to. So if you've been, you said you're like, I'm exhausted. It's been 8 hours of Chappelle. So what's going on?
Okay, let me go through the whole thing. So the guy runs up on stage. First of all, hilarious. They had Yonder bags that they use at comedy shows to keep people's phones from them. But at least 10 people took videos. So they all were
Yonder bag.
Oh, it's this new thing where when you go to a comedy show, they make you put your phone in a bag so that you can't use it until the end. All the big comics use it.
This was important on a larger security issue, just like finding out where the cyber hacks might be getting leaked from. It's like, well, clearly these Yonder bags should go back into the Yonder. They're not working.
Right. People just smuggled their phones in. They pretended they had handed a phone. I guess they gave a dummy phone and they brought another one in. And the other thing is they confiscated everyone's phones and a guy got in with a fake gun that had a knife in it.
If the security guards are taking phones and not actually checking that people are not armed, there's this whole thing needed to happen so that we could really see what's going on.
Right. So, okay. The guy runs up, kind of grabs Chappelle by the waist. Immediately, all of these, you know, I guess security guys pull the guy off and they start pummeling him.
They
I don't know
the
if you
shit out of him behind the scrim is what it seems like happened.
Yeah. And Chappelle came back out and said, I stomped the shit out of that guy. I think he said, I always wanted to do that.
He did. It was a dream come true for him. It was sort of the implication.
Yeah. So he riffed for like 2 minutes about it. He was doing a lot of jokes. Chris Rock also ran on stage and like first joke since the Will Smith thing, he just grabbed the mic and was like, was that Will Smith? And like, they both looked really proud of themselves. It was kind of funny because it wasn't even like that good of a joke, but I was like, good. Okay. Sure. You can have that. So Chappelle and his security dealt with the man. If you saw pictures or video of him leaving on a stretcher,
the arm
looked like the pie symbol. It was not.
That actually is a great call, dude.
It looked exactly like the pie symbol. 3.1416, man. It was disturbing. So, you know, some people right after it happened, I think in my household, Nick was like, oh, they didn't have to beat him up that bad. And then if Nick left for work and I texted him and I was like, the guy had like a gun and knife on him. And he was like, oh, okay. That's why they beat him up.
It would be crazy if Chris Rock had beat the shit out of Will Smith right there on the stage in front of us because he wasn't actually threatening. When somebody has a gun with a chain wallet or perceived to be having a gun with a chain wallet, I understand being like, end this guy.
Also, like when Will Smith slapped Chris, it really was, we've been through this for hours ad nauseum, but it was like a man taking off his glove and slapping the other man with his glove. You know what I mean? It was like a token slap. It wasn't like, I want to cause you physical pain. But this guy, he was like a defensive lineman.
It looked like he was sacking the quarterback before he could throw.
Right. He sacked Chappelle. So that all happened. Chappelle riffed for a little bit about it. At one point, Chappelle said, allegedly, oh, what was he, trans? Because the trans community and allies are very upset with Chappelle at all times about his trans jokes. I'm seeing the two biggest reactions have been people saying, told you so, this is because of Will Smith kind of thing. And then the second one is people saying, okay, I just have to read this tweet because it kind of blew my mind a little bit. The other conversation that's coming out is people sort of saying he deserves it because of the trans jokes. So, okay, this person tweeted, all these people leave out the fact Dave Chappelle joked that it was a trans man that ran on stage to beat him when we don't know who it was. All we know is that things are about to get worse in this country and have been getting worse for trans people, and Dave encourages it. And it's like, he's not, it was a joke. The guy, there's no evidence that the person was trans whatsoever. And I think the fact of the matter is this person is the one who ran on stage and tried to attack him. Like, and I think getting angry about hypothetical violence before you even finish the story of what literally just happened is kind of the height of reactionary.
I thought when he was saying it was a trans person that he was actually acknowledging the reality that he might deserve it.
Right. We might be giving him too much credit, but it almost felt like he's acknowledging the pain that he's caused and the fact that people
That's
are.
That's how I took it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was just a joke. I think, I don't know, just honestly, all day seeing all the news come in about it has been kind of insane. I will say, I don't think this was about trans rights. Why is there a side that is like, well, maybe he deserved it? Like, that's terrifying to be at a show performing and someone comes up to the stage who you've never met before in your life. This is not a peer. This is not a person that you know personally. Someone who could be armed bum rushes the stage. Like, there is no excuse. And it's just really disturbing that, like, up is down and down is up. We're just at such a weird place where literally no one can agree on just the rules of engagement. Like, sticks and stones may break my bones and words can never hurt is not even the rule anymore.
Even if we zoom out, right? This is the same conversation about, like, Russia and Ukraine, which is, like, there's not two sides. Like, there's a crazy person. It is not a coincidence to me. Not only are we between two eclipses, that are the first of the major, like, changing of the guards of specifically thinking about security, Taurus security, South Node in Scorpio, the shit you get away with sneaking in, concealing phones and weapons at the Chappelle show. And what do they have? The YOLO bags, a yonder bag. The fact that we're more concerned with, like, footage getting leaked. Like, if they're not patting people down at, this wasn't even just like a festival or like a show. This was a Netflix television taping. This is as secure as an event should get, like, period. Nobody just wandered in there. Nobody decided last minute to come and buy a front row ticket. Like, this is a huge television taping event.
It's also, I hate to be, because it was so annoying after the Will Smith thing when comics at, like, our level were like, I'll never feel safe again. Because I was like, all right, you're not Chris Rock. Like, settle down. But I actually did feel weird sometimes performing, and I'm sure you have too, when there's, like, creepy people around and you're like, if you're in America, you're like, this is America. Anyone could have a gun. And if they just came in and mowed, and when you're first starting in stand up, you're in a room of school shooters and, like, those open micers.
What a hot take, Mom.
Tell me I'm wrong. Nowadays, it's getting more trendy and more, like, people with thick rimmed glasses or who are, like, hip are doing it. But, like, when we first started, it was the weirdos, right?
Well, so I have a slightly different experience because I didn't start stand up in New York, but I will say.
Yeah, and you were, like, good immediately, so you started getting booked.
I have sort of an issue. Randy is upset about it with me all the time. I feel extremely safe on the planet. Like, it never occurs to me that I might die, and it never occurs to me that I never think in terms of, like, someone could just have a gun. I didn't really open mic, but at one point, like, maybe, like, a year into doing comedy, I was featuring in, what was it? Not Nashville. What's the weirder one?
Memphis?
Knoxville. I was doing a show in Knoxville, Side Splitters in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was sort of like bombing at the beginning. People
because you're Jewish.
Literally was because I was Jewish. And then I tried to course correct and I started doing like Jesus was a Jew, kind of like I was trying to like kind of get them on my side, going hard on Jewish. And I was like, well, they're going to like making fun of Jews. Jewish Disney princess. Jews suck the best dick because of mucus. Hey-o. And I walked like two tables. If I ever felt unsafe, I would have to be on stage while the cop, I don't know if you can hear the sirens in the background, but I love this ambient drama. This ambient drama is so good. But it's like, I would.
It reminds me of that one season of Mad Men when everyone thought Meghan was going to get killed by Charles Manson because she wore the Sharon Tate shirt.
Oh my God.
And they kept putting sirens in the background.
Oh my God.
Sorry, continue.
Oh God, that's where it's like, we don't want to be such good producers. We don't mean to be, and yet so good. I'm really trying to think, was there a time where like the club took it upon itself to remove someone? It's like usually the comic on stage being like, guys.
Yeah. I mean, the only time anyone ever stuck up for me performing ever was at a show at Beauty Bar in the East Village. You know that place?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love Beauty Bar.
I know. It was so cute. I loved that. But I went to this one show and I did this. I don't even know what my material was. It was very stupid. And then when I sat down, the guy who went up after me started joking about raping me. He was like, oh, if I could just rape you, I totally would. And I was like, okay, this is actually completely normal. Like, I don't care. He's an idiot. No one's laughing. That's his punishment. But it was the week after Harvey Weinstein Me Too thing. So like the two male MCs were like, bro, you can't do that. That's not cool. And I was like, guys, you're like, that's way more embarrassing to act like I can't handle it and like I'm gonna cry than it is. I mean, he just bombed. Like, he's embarrassed enough. He learned his lesson.
The thought process of like, if I could just rape you, like, what are the thoughts that happened right before that? You know?
Oh, he was terrible. He was not,
like,
he was
what
not
a non-bad idea, dude.
And that's why it didn't even bother me, because it wasn't even funny. Like, it was so stupid. And then, but it was just so funny because the two guys who stuck up for me, I mean, bless them. It was really nice. They thought they were doing a nice thing. But I was like, if this happened a week ago, you would have probably like either just made a joke about it or maybe even laughed. Like, the only reason why you gave a shit was because of the Harvey Weinstein story came out. Like, literally. And I was like, this is just so fake and stupid.
That was the original Me Too movement.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Before Harvey Weinstein, it was like, Me Too. I wish I could rape her too. Yeah, I wish Me Too. It's always so, violence is so hypothetical until it's fucking not. And it's like a shot, a cop shot someone. And then it's like, whoa. Whereas like, these are these weird in between moments where it's like, okay, no one died, but violence is imminent in the places that you genuinely think are safe. And how does that make you feel? What's going on for all of our collective psyches when this is actually becoming normal? I mean, if school shootings weren't enough, we're killing entertainment? Devastating.
Right. What are we what are we doing?
What are we doing? What's wrong? What are we doing?
And the guy had on like a Thrasher t-shirt and Vans, and he's 23 years old. I'm like, what was this guy? What was his goal? I mean, we'll find out in the days to come, and we shouldn't speculate on it, but.
I mean, I'm pretty curious. Like, I am interested to see, because like, there always is, like, even with the school shootings, it's the same kind of thing, which is like, why would someone do this? And then you get these little leaks of information, like the version of the Thrasher shirt or whatever is like, yeah, he was driving around in like a Trump collage van, you know, and it's like, okay, interesting. We have some sense of character, but I'm curious as to who this character is.
I am just really weirded out by the fact that the people who were like, now this is going to happen. The fact that Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, people are going to think they have license to attack performers, and it actually is coming true. I mean, I don't think that this happens without that. Like, maybe a mass shooting at a comedy show happens without that, because it happens at movies and schools, but someone running up on the stage thinking they could get away with it. Like, I do think there's a direct line to be drawn, and I do think there are going to be copycat incidents, and it freaks me out.
So I don't disagree. And it, again, it just harkens, it brings my mind right back to school shootings, which is like the trend started somewhere, like knowing you could get away with it somewhere. And then from a place of like, no, we're on the side of love, not taking more security actions in schools, made it so that like Sandy Hook was just the seventh of in recent, you know what I mean? It's like, we didn't, that became possible because it became something that we saw. But I also wonder like, okay, but like, what about, you know, remember when the guy shot up the Joker? Like, why isn't movie theaters the thing? Like, why?
It is.
But have there been more movie theater shootings?
Yes, there was one at Amy Schumer's Trainwreck premiere.
What?
There was
what a train wreck. How did I not know that?
Yeah, there was the Joker one. There was one. There's been a few.
Wow.
Because it's an easy target. It's sitting ducks. People sitting in a dark room.
Right.
But it's so insane that we don't do anything about it. It is so insane. And like that is obviously scarier than a performer getting targeted, but it still is just like, oh my God, what are we doing? Like this stuff just happens and we just are like, yeah, this is fine. This is what we do now.
I don't think it's that this is what we do now. I think we're in times of great change, even though it might feel like this is like, haven't we been here before? It's like, yes, but even the movie has a third act and we're in it. And I think that it's not that.
Do you think we're in the third act? I think we're in like, I don't even think we're at the midpoint yet. Because the third act is after the point of no return. Like the point of no return is at the end of the second act. I don't think we've even gotten to the point of no return yet.
Wow. Maybe I'm just a hopeful romantic, but I sort of feel like, okay, war, plague, leisure is not safe. Being in social situations with each other is not safe. Like we are literally all being relegated to the little tiny boxes that are our homes and ask to stay there to remain safe, which is corroding some people's mental health in various ways.
I also think indicative of all of this is the fact that we sit and listen and take it when celebrities tell us how hard their lives are. I think that's another topsy-turvy thing that is being sold to us as healthy and beneficial to us. And it's actually just the most powerful, privileged, blessed people in the world trying to keep us in our place and saying, no, you don't want this. You don't want this. And my life is hard. And you should buy even more of my stuff because I relate to you even more. I think that's a symptom of this because we can't even decide on who's privileged now.
Right, right. Well, and it's
we can't even agree.
Well, even when I was listening to our when I was editing our episode last week, the one question that actually remained unanswered that you brought up, we also can't decide on what is abuse.
Right. We and literally.
But I think that that's why all of this is happening and has to happen because, I mean, look, the South Node in Scorpio is going to be, and we're coming up on the big full moon eclipse, the first of the big Scorpio full moon, eclipses of this series. Scorpio is going to force us to turn over, and it's already starting, turn over stones that we truly thought we could just lay at the bottom of the ocean and let die there. We can't. There's a little cancer crab at the bottom going, actually, I live here, right? So every stone will be unturned. It's going to be messy. It's going to be ugly because the Scorpio energy, and I want to tell you this too, we'll get all into it because I know you have Scorpio paranoia because of Nick. Scorpio at its best is intimacy. It's how we create babies. It's because to become one, right? And then it's better than it was before. But in that case, regardless, there is a death required. Scorpio is death required energy. But let's be clear. Every birth is a death. Every wedding is a death. You're not single Molly anymore. The whole identity of who you were is now being transformed into something different. And then you have a baby and you're not Molly, then married Molly anymore. Now your mom, it's like life is about continual death and rebirth, whether we like it or not. But I think that sometimes not only is the death process painful because as we see the time slipping through our fingers and the things falling through the cracks, we have either like regret or remorse or just our own triggers come up because of not only our own trauma, but the collective trauma that is also because of the internet. So in our motherfucking face, there's no escaping anything now, even if we try. And I think that like, you know, why it's a good thing that all this is happening. I have a lot of hot takes on Roe v. Wade. If we don't get there, come to the moon, you will, because I'm going to have to get some Nicole opinion on it too. But even that, the fact that it's coming up right now is not a coincidence. It's like we cannot pretend to be safe when we're not. And we cannot pretend that certain things, like especially at an arena where they're having you put your cell phone in bags, the fact that anybody could go through a pat down or a bag check walking in with, even if it was fake, a gun with a chain wallet knife is the problem. So it's not that we're all in agreement that that's just normal and that it's okay, but it's like, it's what you're saying about the tax dollars going to submarines too and going to war. It's like, okay, if we're going to put all this money into safety and security and yet never be more unsafe, the problem starts with Pluto in Capricorn just went retrograde, the government. We are not going to get out of this Pluto in Capricorn transit without truly addressing the top level management issues. And even what you're saying about celebrities actually making it worse. What was that Ireland Baldwin clip I sent you this week? What she has cardiophobia?
Yeah, she's afraid of her heartbeat.
I mean, I'm going to use that if anybody asks me why I don't work out from now on. I'm afraid to get too.
Yeah. I mean, see, the thing to me that was even, I think, more salient and indicative of our times in that clip was her and Willow Smith talking about how hard it was to have these careers in entertainment handed to them. They literally spent the top of the episode talking about how hard it was and how stressful it was. And it's like,
dude, that's like when people are like, rich people also have trauma. And it's like, absolutely. But you could actually take a proactive stance in because you realize you're traumatized anyway, like helping other people.
And like,
you have to have an Hermes bag.
Right. Start a gratitude practice.
Yeah.
Like literally start a gratitude practice. That is all you have to do. I know it sounds cheesy, but like it helps me a lot. Was reading, there was this book I was reading. I don't remember what it was called, but it was about rich people. It was a nonfiction book. And this woman, she just studied a bunch of rich people for a few years. And she said the happiest ones were the ones that were downward focused, as in they kind of felt like the richest people in their community. And the least happy ones would have more money than them, but they were upward focused. And all they looked at was the people with more than them. So it's just true. It's like, it's literally your perspective. And if famous people, especially famous people who got their career handed to them on a silver platter, just had a year of having to work like a normal person and afford to live, they would never complain again. It's insane that we are letting them do this and that we're sitting here being like, oh my God, thank you so much for sharing your mental health with me. No, this is bullshit. What we should be doing is having our government give us resources for mental health. That's why we have school shootings. There are countries with guns that don't have school shootings. Yeah, it's not really about the guns.
The only resource for mental health at this juncture is money. Because if the people that are at the very top of the, there's that Bill Gates clip going around from this week too, where he confirms that he was trying to fundraise with Epstein. It's like, Bill, you have enough. You gotta go to Epstein's and hang out with him a couple of times to get more money before you can help. You know what? Bill helps. Okay. Well, you know what? Bill has all the fucking money. He should be responsible for helping every single person. And it's like, at the end of the day, if the wealthy people are also like, we have mental health issues too, then clearly money isn't helping you as much as it could actually help. You might feel better if you shared. Like, I think that is part of this collective breakdown that we're experiencing, which is that like psychically, we're all so fractured because we really do see ourselves, because we have been taught to see ourselves as genuinely different than each other. And we're not. We're not. But if you have all the resources, and so the reason that you're upset is actually like latent guilt or like feelings, and you walk by people that are living outside on the street every day and you're calling the cops on them, there might be a midpoint that we could all meet at. A place beyond credit card debt and Bloomingdale's and homeless people. There is a place called the Moonule. I'll meet you there. But it's like, really, it's so excessive.
The other thing is I consider myself, now that I have a gratitude practice, I consider myself in the grand scheme of people in the world, a rich person. And whenever anyone who's around my level, like, or Nick or my parents or anyone complains about anything, I'm like, you guys, we are rich. Do you know how people are living in this world? We are fucking rich. And so if I'm as rich as I am, do you know how hard it is for me to find a therapist? It's like impossible. Dude. My therapy is working out and journaling.
If you want to work with me, but you don't have the money, here's what I make every single person that I work with do. Every time that we start a call, we start with wins. So I need you to track your wins for the week, moments where you're just like, hell yeah, just notice that. Gratitude practice every week, cry selfies, and otherwise a full surrender to the journey. Make your plans, daydream about them. You got to do 5D telepathy shit. But otherwise, really, it's about gratitude and noticing that you're doing well when you're doing well and making when you don't feel like you're doing well fun. That's it. Cry selfies.
Yes, everything is changing right now. When we were growing up, there was no way that you would ever even think of the fact that a man could be abused by a woman. It was not an option. Now we are seeing and acknowledging the fact that women can abuse men. And at the same time, that is being co-opted by incels and men's rights activists and people who hate women. And it's, they're erasing the other side and they're just tarring this woman and completely dragging her through the mud, regardless of the fact that it's a very, very complicated situation.
You're talking about what, Amber Heard?
So, yeah, exactly. And then there's like Robin China, who knows who started it with them. Will and Chris Rock, obviously they're both men, but it's no one could decide on which one of them was the abusive one. Right. We have this new stupid thing, words are violence. No, they're not. They are definitionally not. Words are words. Smacking someone or, you know, rugby tackling someone is violence. Can we at least, and we can't even agree on that. So here's my question. When are we going to get, is there going to be a new set of rules or is it just going to be chaos? Because right now it feels like chaos.
It's going to be chaos until 2024, 2025.
Okay. So we're going to be almost 40.
Mm-hmm. But amazing. I think that's great for us. I got to say, when the Roe v. Wade information was leaked, which I also think is just so ironic, like, oh, it got leaked and now we have to abort this fucking news. Like, it's like, yes, yeah, sometimes shit happens. Mistakes happen. Okay. Sometimes things leak. Okay. But
great point. Really good point.
Yeah. Come on. The poetry. It's right in front of your face, people. Make a gratitude list and enjoy. Okay. Lay back. Lay back. But, but it's like, I feel like for me, it was, I'm so fired up. Got me feeling it. Fired up. Oh, it's caught up. Actually, it's bad. I put two songs together. It's a mashup, but it's like, it got me.
What did you think it was? Fought up?
It was caught up, but I thought it was fired up. I fucked it up.
Oh, fired up.
But it's like, I literally am like, oh, great. Because if we actually are going to, it's like, if you have cancer, you have to know, you have to find out in order to heal it. When you're sick, if you get a fever, it's actually a good thing. So right now we are in the fever of humanity. Pluto will move into Aquarius, which is when after the government shit, truly the facade has to fall in order to rebuild. That's it. I'm telling you, my house, even that I grew up in, they keep making all of these like big changes. I'm sure the bank owns it now and they're making all these huge changes to the aesthetics of the house. At the end of the day, I can see that they haven't touched the basement and I can see that the driveway is still going to be the same fucking problem, which is that it's going to flood every time it rains and they're going to sell it for way more money than they should because it looks prettier now. It's bullshit. So whoever buys that house, it's a lemon. It needs to be knocked down.
Right. And we're pretending it's not. So, okay. 2024, 2025. All right. I think we need to come back down to earth and talk about the Met Gala before we run out of time. I'm going to start to crash.
Tweepy night nights. I love when you say Tweepy night nights.
I know. I'm going to go Tweepy.
Oh my God. Pisces, Tweepy night nights. Also Balenciaga. Genius coming soon.
We do need to do that one. Balenciaga is really good. The Met Gala. I've been swimming in Met Gala content for 3 days. What did you think?
I thought we were recording right the next day. And so I have like these pages of my like initial, like I just watched and just like literally scribbled my hand as if we were live recording. But now I almost feel like, well, because it's a few days later, my initial reactions are tainted by the internet, right? You know what I mean? It's like the spoilers are out. I know what everybody thinks and it's tainted my opinions.
The only thing now that even sticks in my head is the Kim Marilyn thing. And like, nothing else even made an impression. There's probably five other looks that I could think of off the top of my head, and I looked at every single one. So that's interesting, right?
I think that's a great, like, few days later take. This is why we pay Molly the big bucks, you guys. What? That's right. Right. At the end of the day, love it or hate it, it is the only thing that is still a relevant conversation because of how layered it is. And in fact, mm-hmm. the irony of how not layered the dress is. Yin and yang, yin and yang. There's always another side. But anyway, it's like, yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I guess to me, the other thing that stands out as like the other, like, okay, well, if there was like a feature act for the Marilyn dress, it would be like, what's up with eyebrows? No eyebrows? Everyone wants to do potato head? Well, I don't know. What's that? What is this trend?
I know. It's just like a shortcut to looking fashion-y is to bleach your eyebrows.
And it's like, there's just like the agreement of more than one person doing it. Is what makes, because I feel like at the same time, there's never been, or maybe we're coming off of the trend, but I feel like for a while there, it was like the bushier eyebrows, the better. Use this dark black pencil to make you look like Groucho. It's like, do you know what I mean?
Right. I mean,
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Like her brows,
I know, which was also too much. There are and also it became really acceptable to like bully women for their eyebrows on TikTok and on Twitter and stuff. Like, yeah, people will comment on people's TikToks and be like, wow, you really need to fix your eyebrows. And it's like, how do you not see this is just as fucked up as when you told every girl with thick eyebrows that she was a monster? You know, like it's literally the same thing. First of all, second of all, this is just another TikTok side note. There's a big trend of women our age being like on TikTok, oh, if I just hadn't waxed my brows all the time in the 2000s, they would be so full now. And I'm like, no, they wouldn't. Some people just don't have thick eyebrows. You just are a white person. Like, we're just white people who don't have good eyebrows.
Well, and
you
if
know?
That was like, the case, wouldn't there be some actual like overwhelming movement of people being like, if you get Brazilians for the first 15 years of your life, then your pussy will never have hair again? It's like, no, that hair grows.
Right. And also Brazilian is so much more intense. Well, they do say that if you do keep doing it, it starts to thin out a lot. But yeah, no one was waxing their entire eyebrow off.
Right.
And it's like people whose eyebrows are too far out and they don't have a tail.
Right.
Like they are saying, oh, if I just didn't wax my eyebrows, they'd be perfect. And it's like, no, you never had that good of an eyebrow. It's just fun. Some of us don't have good eyebrows. It's fine.
Well, and the truth is, like, until it was actually brought to my attention, like maybe a year ago, I didn't even ever, my eyebrows are like exactly what that you see. I've never touched my eyebrow in my life. Now I have a crayon that sometimes before I go on Zoom, I scribble on my face. And then sometimes it makes it look even worse or weirder because it's like, you know, I'll be on the subway and it actually is like sort of more of a Harry Potter scar across the top of my eye. And then like I have other people in my life that are like, oh my God, remember when we used to put McDonald's arches over our eyeballs? And it's like there was like sort of the like, you know, the really
the rainbow brow, yeah.
And the, you know, I have friends that have literally gotten tattooed eyebrows on because of how ashamed they felt of having blonde eyebrows. And it's like, I'm annoyed for them. I'm like, don't make this a trend now. You shamed me out of having blonde eyebrows.
I have tattooed eyebrows on.
Oh my God. So how do you feel about it? Are you like, how dare they? Like now it's, you know what I mean?
No, because I look better with the fake eyebrows that I have than my real eyebrows. And it's not because I overwaxed them. It's because I am Northern European. I don't have eyebrows.
Right. Same.
We're getting too sidetracked. We have to stop talking about eyebrows.
I don't think that anyone looked better without eyebrows.
Right. Because it's not meant to look good. It's just it's a flex. It's a weird flex.
Okay. But
to be like, I look fashion-y when I bleach my eyebrows. I look like an alien, but I don't care about looking pretty. I don't care about the male gaze. That's what it is.
Right. That's when fashion is not about pretty.
Exactly. And it's also not going to be a trend. People aren't going to do
that. That was going to be my question. Like if everybody all of a sudden in Hollywood was popping up, like, look, we didn't think people would be wearing heels and bike shorts either. Right. Like, let's just say for whatever reason,
no one's wearing heels and bike shorts.
I feel like Kim like made it sort of like a thing for a minute.
You have no go outside. No one's. You literally, it doesn't
exist. I'm actually really glad that you told me that because for the show, for the big show on the Mercury Retrograde May 10th in New York City, I was actually going to wear heels in my sweatpants. So I'm glad that you stopped me from doing that.
Well, we've been through this. You can pull off really off-kilter fashion.
Like the photo I showed you earlier.
That I wouldn't say, I don't know if that was a pull-off necessarily, but you were wearing it. But Met Gala, yeah, every year there's a few people that go the fashion route and bleach their eyebrows. It's not going to be a trend. It's going to be maybe a couple girls in Bushwick are doing it. That's it. Thin eyebrows might come back, but like, it's not going to be a full bleach situation. Now let's talk about the Kim dress, because obviously it's the most important topic. My favorite part of this, well, actually comical part of it, was why did she have that crazy spray tan? The whole allure of the dress is that it matches your skin tone, and she was orange.
Dude, like, how did Kim miss the point of the dress, number one? And then even if, because there's that clip that's like, this is Marilyn's lock of hair. It's like, even if you dyed the hair color to be exactly what the lock of hair was, not only is your skin literally couldn't be further from the tone of the dress, but that hair color with your skin tone looks like a mistake.
Yeah. And I wish she did a bouncy curl too. I think that would have been really cute. Right. But I will say, Kardashian Colloquium, friend of the pod, follow her. She made the point that Kim made herself look like a mannequin, which is really what Kim is at the end of the day, a lot of the time, which I think was a really interesting, fun point. And I think that was why she did the slicked back. But she's been doing the slicked back look a lot. But I think it was like, oh, look at the dress. Look at my body. And Kim has expressed before, oh, because I have a lot going on with my face and body, I can't wear the craziest haute couture, really crazy fashions. That's why she's always wearing bodycon and simple stuff. So I think that was why she did it. She simplified it to keep the focus on the dress. But yeah,
I think she simplified it because it was a 14-hour, like, because, like, two nights before, she had that wet hair look, which I would like to know how she achieves. I love that wet look. But, like, she has that wet – oh, my God. Also, side note, I just got a really funny message from my mom. Remind me after this. She has that wet look 2 days before, and then she's like, I sat in the chair. It was a 14-hour job. I think the part of the pullback is that, like, you don't actually know what it's like, that's going to work. It was some Jedi hairstyling that was being done. Like, and I think also the ends probably look a little bit fried. Like, if she had done a bob, like, it might've gotten frizzy, or it might've, like, I think it was like, in case this fries my head off or doesn't work, I can throw a wig on.
Yeah. I think it was meant to be a mirage. And do you want to know my conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
That's backed by nothing.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
I think she only dyed the parts that would be facing out from the ponytail, because if you look at the closer up photos, it looks like there's dark patches underneath. And I hope that's what she did, because I hope she did not fry her entire head of hair just for this. Like, I hope she just did the parts that would be showing when it's slicked, so that her head's not ruined. Because yeah, that amount of bleach on black dyed hair, like, it, like, she uses like the darkest inky dark black dye that you can, because I'm sure she has grays by now. So like, to counter, not just to dye hair that's that naturally dark, but to dye hair that's been dyed that naturally dark is a nightmare process. That takes more than 14 hours.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, maybe the hair at the correspondence dinner was a wig or something, because she actually had maybe started the process beforehand.
Yeah. She also, I think there's something about her where she's really, really into proving that she's working hard for these looks. And she,
that's so interesting. I agree. Like, yeah, like, this is like a job, like, Bale lost all that weight to be in The Fighter. It's like, as if it's as serious as like a role in something.
She said that in the Vogue interview. She was like, it was like, I was preparing for a role, but it's like,
but the role is just you doing something cool for 3 minutes while you try not to trip up the stairs.
Voluntarily. And you paid to do it. You didn't, you're not getting paid to do this. Like, or like, she or a designer, but it's, she wasn't brought by a designer, because that's how it works for the Met Gala. Usually a designer invites you, and the design house pays for the, I think, $15,000 a head ticket. But she wasn't brought by a designer, because it was this archival piece by this designer, Jean-Louis, that doesn't exist anymore. So I don't think she was brought by a designer. But
no, she obviously,
yeah.
If anything, it'd be like, believe it or not, she was brought by Ripley's Believe It or Not. And you made a post. Why is it in the Ripley's Believe It or Not? Because it's like, believe it or not, Marilyn Monroe's skin is sewn into the zipper. I feel like it's just like, believe it or not, this is like a disgusting piece of fabric. Like,
no, here's why it was in Believe It or Not. Well, let me put a pin in that, because I want to say she has a history of claiming that it's her real hair when she has extensions. She never wants to admit she has a wig. Like, so this is a theme for her. And it's really silly, because it's like, girl, just wear the freaking wig. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone else in this room with you is wearing a wig or a hairpiece or extensions right now. Why did you ruin your hair for this? But anyway, Ripley's Believe It or Not. So one of the things that was so hilarious to me throughout this whole thing was people saying that it was like sacrilege for her to be wearing Marilyn's dress, because Marilyn was this like angel person who was like pure talent. First of all, Marilyn Monroe was wearing that dress to serenade her married boyfriend.
Like, she was doing an ultimate bitch move. Like, she was trying to be like, fuck, don't, you can't ignore me.
Exactly.
Ultimate mistress move is what this dress was.
Knowing that his wife was going to see it, his wife who was known and beloved by the country, knowing that everyone was going to watch this performance and know that she was banging him.
Right.
Like, come on. This was not...
No, it was like the ultimate flex that she could possibly imagine. And then it was literally her dying act. She died 3 months later.
Right. And someone had said in a quote, Kim should be ashamed of herself. This was an ego boost and a publicity stunt. What do you think it was when Marilyn did what she did? Like, loved her, icon, amazing person. That was also an ego boost and a publicity stunt. What is sleeping with the most famously married man in the country and making everyone know it? That's an ego boost and a publicity stunt.
I mean, like,
come on.
1,000,000%. Not to mention, I haven't been into the Met Gala until recently. Now I'm a stan of the fashion, but in all of the pre-show coverage, I couldn't stop seeing photos of Katy Perry dressed like a hamburger and a chandelier. Okay.
Which
I think that was the, I mean, it was basically like, she was like a butt of the joke that we were still telling from, I guess, 2017 or whatever. But at the end of the day, she's still getting all this press and publicity, even if it was like genuinely in, like, not even poor taste. Like, she thought this was Halloween or something. All Hallows Eve at the Met Gala.
Well, that was the camp theme. It was literally, the theme was to be tacky.
Oh, I was wondering what I was going to ask. But either way, it's like the point of this, if you do the Met Gala right as an attendee, it is a publicity stunt. Like, that's what makes it, we're looking for anybody to do anything interesting. It would be so different if there was only one person with no eyebrows, and it would be different if there was like only one man in a kilt. But it's like, all the guys are in kilts. Why? Was that American at all? How was that American? Why do we have no eyebrows? Was it American just because we didn't have eyebrow pencil? Like, what are we talking about?
There was a Catholic Met Gala. It was the best one, in my opinion. It was incredible. Rihanna showed up dressed as a pope. She had no eyebrows in the pope outfit.
Right. That's when to do no eyebrows.
Yeah, when you're being so weird. But okay. And that was incredible. And that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it was a publicity stunt and it was fucking epic. And like, so was this. But so my point is, when Marilyn Monroe was alive, she was very controversial, and her death was this kind of sordid thing that people didn't want to talk about. Like, that dress ended up at Ripley's, believe it or not, because like, I don't think anyone else really wanted it.
Oh, like, because it has like bad juju. Like, it's actually a bad vibes only dress.
Right. Like, for years. And it's only since like the Tumblr era that Marilyn has become this canonized figure, because she sort of, you know, when she died, she was kind of just like rattling around, not really at her peak. Like, things had been going downhill for her for a while. Like, and that's not, doesn't make her a bad person whatsoever. She was not a bad person whatsoever. I'm just saying, she was a complicated woman in the public eye, the same way that Kim Kardashian is. And that's why it is perfect that they both wore the same dress.
Agree completely. I also feel like I've noticed in the past few weeks where it's like, is she okay? Like, why is she looking so skinny? She's been looking so skinny. And it's like, and I was like, oh, she's getting divorced. Like, we all get skinny when we're getting like revenge body or whatever. I don't know. And this at least explained that. But I also think it's interesting because it's like, the whole narrative about Marilyn Monroe is that she was like a 12. And it's like,
right.
And now it's a double zero fitting, and she could barely space herself in. It's like, well, maybe we should rethink the mythology of Marilyn's big curvy body. It seems like she was emaciated.
When she died, she was 5'6" and 117 pounds.
Okay, like, that's not a, so like, at, so basically it's like, at one point she had a couple of thick years, but it's like, no, she wasn't just like
size 12 was a different size back then, because now we have vanity sizing. So a 12 back then was like a 2 now, or a 0 even. So they've just been shifting the size, because, you know, I always want to shop at J. Crew. Well, no, not J. Crew anymore. That's a bad example. There are stores where I'm like an extra small and I'm like, ooh, yeah, I love that. You know what I mean?
1,000%. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh, so medium, still got it.
Right. That's how a 12 became a 0.
Oh.
she was not today's 12. She was not the 12 of today. And here in the UK, I think the sizes that we used to have were probably very similar to the sizes here, because the sizes in the UK start at 6.
Right.
So the smallest size, there's no size 0 in the UK.
Right, and there's like it 24 starts at 6. And like there's a range.
Right. Because there's something about size 0 that's just so toxic. It's like, oh, I've dieted myself down to literally nothing. I'm a non-entity.
Well, and further, the real dull weight is 00. 00's a thing. Why don't you just go to the fucking kids section? It's cheaper.
Right. Exactly. It's crazy. But it's double.
I'm double negative size. I'm cents. I'm one penny.
Yeah. Like a 00 though used to probably be like an 8. That's how much it shifted. So yeah. She was a 12, but she was a 1962 12. So like, yeah, there's just a lot of different things that people don't realize about her. Like, no, she was not this BBW Ashley Graham queen, no. Not even remotely. Second of all, she had a lot of sex scandals throughout her life, which is so did Kim. She had a nude calendar that leaked right when she was starting to get famous and almost ruined her career. Think about what that was like in the 1950s for a nude photo of you to leak when you were a squeaky clean movie star. It's truly the equivalent of a sex tape mm-hmm. today. And everyone didn't love her when she was alive. A lot of people disliked her, especially after they knew that she was banging the president whose wife was beloved.
She's like the most popular girl in school.
Right. So like this whole idea that she was like, you know, some kind of like pure angel of the era and Kim is tarnishing her legacy is like, no, you're actually being more sexist if you think that, because she was a complicated person. And the fact that she was complicated makes her even more impressive.
Well, I agree completely. And I also think in terms of like, you know, our judgment of the dress itself, it actually just the zoomed out version. That's exactly what Kim's point was. Like, it's like, it's not about whether this was like morally right or wrong or like gross or not gross or like something that was like blasphemy for the collective, you know, how dare she, you know what I mean? Right. You make a great point. It wasn't at the Met. It was at Ripley's, believe it or not. We're literally walking past it. Kids have put gum on it. Like, it's not like, it's like, this isn't a dress that we were actually taking that seriously, you know? Like, let's all just chill out for a second. But actually, the fact that this is the thing we remember, she is the conversation topic. It goes back to like really identifying what her job, or at least what she's turned her job in the collective into, which is to be that talking point. Selfies as a coffee book was just the beginning. She is the lightning rod. And I think the fact that she actually has these like humble beginnings of a millionaire, but like just a humble reality star with no talent and a sex tape. It's like she's actually like this as the iteration of where her career has evolved into is like best case scenario.
Right. Also people need to keep in mind that, you know, pre-1970s, pre like raging crap, you know, what is that book? You know what I'm talking about. And the 60s was when like, okay, before the 60s when European cinema became a thing and the 70s when American cinema also became really artsy fartsy, cinema was considered like reality TV. Like it was not this lofty artistic thing to most people. So like Marilyn Monroe was not seen as this like thespian, you know, method acting didn't exist yet. It was just popcorn entertainment and people were not looking at Marilyn Monroe being like, oh wow, like she's got a talent, she's got a skill. To them, she was a Kim Kardashian, just show up and look hot. That's what they thought she was, even though her skill went beyond that. And Kim's skill goes beyond that. No one knows how to push buttons like Kim. No one knew how to push buttons like Marilyn. Like, yes, they both have a skill and a talent. And it's not being appreciated today unless you're really smart like us.
Yeah, everyone knows that we're the smartest.
Yeah, like it's there. And Marilyn was not considered, she was not the Meryl Streep of her time.
Well, women weren't. It's actually right. This larger issue why this Between Eclipse Portal is revealing all of these, you know, now we're talking, is it grossly irresponsible that she starved herself for fashion? Or is she an icon for doing something that can never be taken from the lexicon of pop culture now forevermore? Like she did it. She fucking, you know, she was the first follower that really made the difference.
Look at, for instance, you know, a year or two ago, Hailey Bieber did that photo shoot where she emulated Princess Diana's style in some of her most, you know, popular and well-known paparazzi photos. And it really didn't really make a blip. It didn't really move the needle in any direction. People were just kind of like, it's not really a perfect fit. But if it had pissed people off more, it would have been more of a flex because like it was almost irrelevant. It's almost like what if today's young blonde starlet du jour wore the Marilyn dress? It also wouldn't have been a blip on the radar. Mm-hmm. It would have just been like, oh, cute. That's nice. But with Kim, it's become this cultural moment and it's all anyone can talk about for a whole week. But yeah, I want to talk about her dieting. She said that she lost 16 pounds in 3 weeks to fit into this dress. People are getting really angry about her being honest about that. I mean, I think, so this is kind of similar to the Roe v. Wade thing. It's like people are getting angry that, quote, no one's talking about Roe v. Wade. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Literally everyone is talking about it.
Also, it's all like anybody talks about for the last, like, I mean, for years. I mean, Trump, we started talking about it when Trump, Kavanaugh, we've been talking about it.
Right. And it's like this reactionary thing to something that hasn't even happened. It's just like we all want to react and nothing's even happened. Nothing. We're reacting to fake stimuli.
Yeah.
It's like
aren't you glad a plan B exists?
Yeah. Like people were saying, oh, I can't believe people are applauding Kim for losing 16 pounds in 3 weeks. I have only seen people say that she's deranged for doing that. I have not seen a single person be like, yeah, we should all do that. It's like, no, she's behind the times on this. And it's very clear that no one thinks that was a cool move.
You want to know what my genuine thought was?
Well,
if I ever get married, I'll just do that.
You can't. You get sick. Okay. It's too much weight loss in one
day. I mean, I'll, you know, drink myself sick anyway and I'll still be fat in the picture. So it's like, pick your poison, people.
That's a good point. But Michelle Collins made a really good point too on Twitter. She was like, I can't believe everyone's getting mad at her for saying this. Don't you know they all did this? Like they all did this.
That's exactly.
She's the only one who admitted it.
Well, right. It's like. But even the same point though of like, they were just doing this for PR. It's like, yeah, getting an invitation means that you have a PR opportunity. That's what this is. You pay to have a PR opportunity like this.
Exactly.
That's what it is. I want to say that thank you to your girl, Michelle Collins. She actually reminded me, it wasn't all on this one day. There was like Met Gala. Oh, also that day, for some reason, I was completely entranced with it. I watched the entire 7 hours of the court proceedings before my clients on the day that then later Roe v. Wade was leaked or whatever. So I was deep in this research about who was Jane Roe. And then I went to Instagram. I saw her post. All the looks from the gala as Les Mis characters, I felt healed. I was like, oh, like I was tickled. I thought, Molly, I have to send this to Molly. Like it made me so happy that then I got excited about my show. Thank you, Michelle. That's funny. For her to be even sitting in her house watching this and actually having the catalog of songs from Les Mis appear in her head as each costume emerged made me, I was like, wow, she's my people.
And it was very Les Mis-esque. It was great.
So
it was great content.
Fucking good.
Because the theme was gilded glamour. And then the note was, you can maybe explore the Gilded Age. And then all these people so annoyingly were like, why isn't everyone wearing this? And it's like, no, it's a theme. And it's you're supposed to interpret it the way you want. Like, it's not really that, you know, it's not like everyone is supposed to show up looking like an ex from HBO's The Gilded Age. You're supposed to make it your own.
Right. And well, and I think you also, and maybe I'm wrong, but because I'm really like a new student of fashion, but from what I understand from our last recording about the American Lexicon September event is that like they go together. So like,
yeah, this one was also American.
So it's still, and it's not just that this was like gilded. And I also think that I think you posted it. This, the topic wasn't Gilded Age. It was gilded glamour, and then like everything,
exactly.
The slap, the attack, the Travis Scott concert, Kim's dress is up for interpretation, and I think seeing people's takes on it is fun.
It's more fun,
yeah. Like you don't want to be so rigid. Like all the people that are like, there should be a punishment if you don't follow the thing. The only person that should be punished for not following the theme and should be ashamed of herself is Kourtney Kardashian. Her little, I'm too cool to even have thought about that plot. You're lucky to be there, bitch. Act a little bit like, how dare you be like, I actually didn't even get on trend. It's like, okay, well, you don't deserve to be here, then you will never be invited back. Chloe, at least.
Yeah, the rest of their, all of them, their looks was really a travesty. And no pun intended. I mean, actually, I liked Travis's look.
Oh, no, he was saving it for the team. The last thing I want to say is the only person that has a right to wear no eyebrows and make it look cool is Maisie Williams. I also think it's very clear that Bella still does not have a stylist.
Wait, what did Bella wear? I can't even remember.
Julia Fox should have dressed her and at least helped in what she was trying to achieve.
Oh, I wish Julia Fox got, but I really want Julia Fox to happen. She's so close.
She's so close, yeah. I think she's onto something with the tutorial she's been doing where she's like, here's how you just cut most of your jeans into super low rise. And she's like, yeah, you can glue them to your body.
She ran out of the Kanye clothes and she's just cutting up the rest of her wardrobe to pretend that it's like custom. I love it. I really want her to, I want her to stay forever. I think the people's come up is not over.
She's representing the people's come up.
She'll be at the next Met Gala. Mm-hmm. I really hope. And also the Softy Brothers are doing another movie with Adam Sandler. Yeah,
they're going to crush. They crush.
I mean, Uncut Gems is still my favorite movie of the last like 5 years. Uncut Gems.
Excellent film.
It really is. And I hope that she makes a cameo in the next one, even though I'm sure she won't because that would make no sense because it's not a sequel, but still.
Wait, there's one other thing I want to
say. Okay, what was
I'm so triggered by Kim's new Pete personality. Watching that show was like nails on a chalkboard. When she said, like, I don't even know if there's like a possibility of another sex tape out there unless I was like asleep and Ray J put a dildo in my ass at night. It's like, okay, I get it. You're hanging out with the comedian. You're feeling like you can cleaning makes me horny. Like, Kim, not only have you never acted like that a day in your life, but now you're actually, you sound so uncool. So you're saying the other sex tape that might exist is him sodomizing you, he's raping you in your sleep. It's like not funny. It's just, it sounds disgusting. Cleaning makes me horny. It's like, okay, cool girl. It's like, just calm the fuck down. Just like, this is not the personality to take on. Uncool.
I know. You know that when you go through a breakup, you get a little manic and say weird shit to people, yeah, you know, right, especially right. That big of a breakup. I think it's kind of funny and cute how she's actually taking on Pete's speech patterns and hilarious, but like a little cringe at the same time. They still don't fit together. Like on that red carpet, even I was trying so hard for it to be a moment. And in my head, I was like, yes, this is it. Like this is their real coming out as a couple. And I was just like, I still don't get it.
Well, let me say, like, in the taking a page from our boy Enrique Rojas, what is his name?
Enrique Jesus Rojas,
the body language body. So I'm sort of like the chemistry scientist, right? Like I'm always watching the fact that a bad sign. I want everybody to zoom in on danger ahead. This couple doomed from the start because he made a joke and she had no affect. And if anything, because I watched so much Body Language Body, I could see there was a twinge in her eye where she was actually like annoyed. Now, to be clear, she's probably pretty hangry at this point, and she's probably wearing heels that are way too high because wasn't Marilyn actually like tall? But that aside, he made that comment.
Yeah, because Kim's 5'2 and Marilyn was 5'6.
Right. That's part of why walking was so hard. It wasn't just that they actually had to use her skin to keep the dress on. It was that like she was probably in super high heels.
I love how they force them to walk up the stairs too, by the way. Like they force them to go through this gauntlet that is so cruel and humiliating and I love it. I love that.
This is as close to the Hunger Games as we get. This is the Capitol.
Yeah.
This is the Capitol. It's like, okay, everybody put on your wigs and put lipstick on your eyebrows. Let's go to the ball. It's like, all right, whatever. Sure. we have all the power. Yes. Yes. Free the homeless on your sweatshirt. Like whatever. Okay. So, it's like, it's just anyway, Lala was like, Pete, like, OMG, you actually look handsome. And he was like, yeah, thanks. She didn't let me wear my propeller beanie. And Kim had no response except for maybe the slightest hint of an eye roll. And I was like, damn, this – and I hate his – getting that tattoo, if that is what it is, which is like Kim and the kids. First of all, Pete, enough with the tattoos. We know that you're just going to – cover them up when you break up. If you get a tattoo for everyone, it's actually not that romantic and cute. It's actually no different than just dyeing your hair or getting a new sweatshirt. Like it's like, calm down with that. You're just poisoning your body, and it's actually not permanent. So chill.
Yeah, I hope the neck tattoo is not her kids' initials. I'm just like hoping it's something
different.
It is
different. So fucking petty if it is. And to actually use those kids in that way to specifically taunt, that's nothing but taunting Kanye. That is such a rude thing to do. I'm so turned off by that. I hate how fucking cool he must feel being with her. He must have been bored as fuck. Slowly. They had to walk so fucking slow. And I can't imagine that they have that much to talk about. And by the time they got to the top and he made his little beanie joke, she had no time for it.
I know. Yeah, it's interesting. The chemistry is not there. There is a friendly chemistry. There is a we're hanging out chemistry. I don't think that they're faking it for PR, but I do think maybe the sheen might have worn off a little bit.
Yeah, it sort of like reminds me of I'm trying to think of like it's sort of one of those things where you understand that like for both of them it helps. Like I get where like looking at the correspondence ball photos, I get that after Kanye in terms of style shift, that's a cool, like, I think I don't think it's a PR thing, but I think they both are, and her more than him, interested in designing the retrospective of her life in real time as like really what she is a documentarian at this point. And so he's like the Vince Vaughn to Jennifer Aniston of this moment is sort of how I'm seeing it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like they did really connect, but he wasn't Brad Pitt and he's a perfect like middle person. They're going to get a movie out of this. They actually did have a great time together. Still say nothing but nice things about each other, but it was like she wasn't going to end up with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. But then sense.
It's like, oh, Kim is making all those comments like, it's only going to be 4 marriages for me, I hope. And it's like, why are we talking about marriage? It's been 6 months. Take the tattoo. Like, chill with the tattoo. If I need to find out this is henna or else I am grossed out.
I know. It is kind of endearing that, like, she kind of thinks she's a comedian now. I don't know why. Like, the fact that I know you just rolled your eyes more than I've ever seen you roll them.
Literally her older.
I kind of like, because I think she is trying to be like a comedy fan. Like she did SNL and yes, she did a great job with the monologue and she did a really, really good job making fun of herself. But it's not about timing. It's not about like, you know, it's not like the reason why she did so well is because she is such a stiff person and everyone was like, there's no possible way this is going to work. And she did do it all, which she killed it, smashed it. But it's like, okay. If we're going to do a full pivot into comedy land, we're going to need to think a little bit harder about this.
Because 100%. Yes.
We can't just be saying dildo in ass as a placeholder for jokes. If we are trying to become.
Right. I want to be like, put your bar back up just for a minute. Like you do want to get a few mics out there before you. This is where it's like, she isn't like, you know, yes, wear the Maryland dress, but like, yeah, just. Let's hold off on the blue humor.
Right. But the Kardashians love the blue humor. Like I have always said, everyone's always like, Khloe's the funny one. And I'm like, well, Khloe's joke is just saying vagina repeatedly really loud.
Like that. let her be the comedian on tour. Like, let that be her thing. We don't need all of them being like, yeah, dildo's in my butt or what?
I know. The only reason that they're funny is because it reminds you watching it of yourself and your siblings being really comfortable with each other and laughing at stupid shit. Like, right. It's not because they're
right.
doing good
familiarity.
Material.
Right. And at the end of the day, they're petty little idiots just like us. And they have mental health problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough.
Do you want to promote the Munio one
more
time?
Yeah, I think you guys are just going to want to come. As simple as that. I have some really hot takes on Roe v. Wade. And actually, because of this pod, I've just recently tied in Marilyn Monroe into the presentation that I will thus present and discuss with Nicole, among other things. And Molly, I hope, will be there too. Are you available on the 16th? We are going to need some pop culture. It's sort of made for you in this moment because your South Node is in Scorpio in the 8th house. So you actually might deliver us some fucking genius shit that puts us on the map in ways that we can't prepare. So I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but I hope you'll be there.
I probably can do it if you start it at 10 o'clock my time.
You need to tell me what time?
Which is 5 o'clock.
Okay, bitch, I would do that for you. Okay, you heard it here first, you guys. The Moonule is officially starting an hour earlier and we're going to start every Moonule with a pop culture happy hour live pod.
Yeah. Oh, like if I can start at 5 and just do that, and then we can, if it's good, we can post it as a podcast episode and then you go into the whole rest of
it. I love
it.
I'm in. Genius.
That will fix my sleep problem.
Okay, you guys, this is how it works. In eclipse season, you do want to be able to pivot. You want to try new genius ideas that might actually just really put the show on the map.
Well, Love you guys. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Molly Mulshine, and follow Sarah at Sarah.
And follow at the Moonule, and we'll see you on the 16th, if not before.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.